Good morning, church. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. I've got trust issues with technology. As you will soon see, I see all these wonderful people with iPads when they come up here. Me, no. I bring paper. So good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you online, my favorite people. So I had a word this morning. I was preparing for this morning and I was saying, God, give me a word. You know who's going to be in the room. You know exactly what they need. So give me a word that's specific for people. I can hear an echo. Is it me or is it? It's me. Right. I did tell you I had issues with technology. So I said, give me a word that's specific to people. And he gave me a word and I thought, I don't know about that one. Then Juliet got up and then just the theme in the way that we've been worshiping just makes me feel comfortable that I heard right. When I was praying, God said to me that he is preparing us and equipping us for battle. And I thought, God, you know, we've been through so much. How can you be telling me that we're being prepared for battle? And Juliet came up and spoke the same way, you know, in terms of we need to be ready for battle. And what God was saying to me is that he's preparing us and equipping us in the situations that we're going through. But the problem is when we are going through this, we never feel that as we're being equipped or prepared for something greater, because what we almost feel all the time is struggle. We feel struggle. And so when God says, I'm progressing you to the next level, it's very hard to see that you're on the next level when all you feel is struggle. And you also forget that you don't even recognize that you're on the next level because it's just feeling like the same. But if you look really closely, it's struggle, but a different struggle. And what God is saying to me is that, you know what, you'll be in reality, you'll miss what I'm doing in the struggle when you focus on the issue. In Mark 10 and 30, and I don't think I gave it to the guys at the back, it says this. It says, I'll add everything that you have lost plus persecution. The problem with us as people, and me included, is that we focus on the persecution and we forget that God has done all these things in the process where he's given us promotion upon promotion upon promotion, that we don't really see it because our focus is on the struggle. If I might take a subject for today, my subject for today is battle ready. We are battle ready. The Bible in 2 Timothy says this, for God, he has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Battle ready. I'm talking about the first battle though, the battle that we have in the mind. I am yet to see, I'll be bold to say, any battle that's been conquered if it hadn't yet been conquered in the mind. The battlefield, as Joyce Meyer says, is in the mind. That's why mind matters. Today, I want to talk about David, that you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know what happens to David and Goliath. Spoiler alert, the giant, it dies. I'm telling you, it dies. It's easy to speed read through that scripture, through the lens of victory, and forget that there was a thread of fear that went through the Israelites' army. I've learned over the years that fear can be irrational. It will make you do irrational beings, and you will present yourself in the world crazy. Remember me in McDonald's car park when I thought I'd lost my car? According to psychiatrists, there are 2,000 classified fears. 2,000 classified fears. And I'll just name a few. Photophobia, the fear of looking hideous in pictures. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Now listen, my beloved over there, he is afraid of dogs. And when I was researching on this, studying this, I thought, right, it's a phobia. This guy will pretend if he comes to your home that he likes your four-legged friends. It doesn't matter how small they are, he's frightened of them. Bibliophobia, the fear of books. And of course, one that really shocked me was phobia, the fear of fear itself. What is interesting to me is that these same psychologists tell us we're only born with two innate fears, the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. Every other fear is conditioned, every other fear is learned. So 1,998 of those fears, we are conditioned and we learn. Fear amplifies our imagination. I have learned that you can start on one side worried about one thing, and before you know it, I'm dark in some corner worried about 120 million things, and Nelson's like, Leah, what's going on? Now, I'm not a medical person, so I'm not here to belittle what people are going through in the room. What I'm here to do is just be a mouthpiece for God and see what he says about the issue of fear. 500 years ago, a guy called Michael Montagnier said, I have been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. Studies have looked into how many of our imagined calamities never actually materialize. And reading from the same university as Juliet, I found that 85 of those fears, of those things that really stuff that we were afraid of and that had really robbed our peace, that never really actually happened. And out of those 15 that actually did, it was discovered that people could actually cope better than they had actually feared. The story of David and Goliath, it's not a story between armies. It's a story between a teenage boy and a giant called Goliath from Gath. In Samuel 1, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find the Israelites petrified, totally petrified. They are paralyzed by fear, almost losing their minds, when in walks this teenage kid with extraordinary faith in the midst of fear. Allow me to set the scene a bit in 1 Samuel 17. So you have the Valley of Elion in the middle, and you have a hill on one side and a hill on the other. This valley was about a mile long. So you have the Philistines on one side, the Israelites on one side. And what they did is that they would come down, you know, into the valley and then give it a bit of come and have a go if you're hard enough, and then they'd go back into a different hills. And this went on for some time. And one day, this huge guy called the champion. Now, it's interesting that the Philistines called him the champion, but there we go. He says, this guy called the champion pops up. And in 1 Samuel 17, 4-7, it says this. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines. His name was Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. Does that sound familiar? That when we focus on the things that are becoming, are overwhelming us, we can describe them in ways that are so detailed that we paralyze ourselves and we forget the God who's won the battle for them. But reading this, though, it is understandable that the Israelites would be intimidated. Who wouldn't? And in trying to understand how huge this giant was, when you read, Bible scholars say he was about 9 to 10 feet tall. Now, you might be saying, well, yeah, that's not really giant material. But when you understand that in 100 BC, the average Israelite army was about 5'4". So the odds were really against the Israelite army at this time. In studying the scripture, it dawned on me, though, that there are some truths about fear. That it's very easy. We can talk about fear to try and eliminate it and make it small. But actually, the first truth that I saw in reading and studying 1 Samuel 17 was this. Fear is intimidating. Fear will intimidate you. In chapter 8, in verse 8 to 11, it says this. And he stood, and this is Goliath, and he cried out to the armies of Israel. And he said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul? Understand just how cocky this guy is. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. And if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then you will be my servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be my servants and servers. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all the Israelites heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. And here he comes, greatly afraid. This guy comes into the valley and he says, let's not do battle army to army. This is how confident I am. I want man to man. Give me a guy. Hand-to-hand combat is what I'm looking for. As a side note, when you read, you find that King Saul, in that time, he was head and shoulders above his army. It goes to reason that actually, as the king, he should have been the one stepping up to Goliath. But that's another talk for another time. But what the Israelites experienced overwhelmed them and intimidated them. And then David comes on the scene. But he's not intimidated. He sees the same thing that they see. He hears the same thing that they hear. But he's not intimidated. Why? Because what we see often is a matter of how we see it. You can have two people seeing the same thing, but their responses are completely different. Where the Israelites saw a giant, David saw a big target. And he looked and he thought, I can't miss. I can't miss that guy. Fear is intimidating. The second point the truth that I saw in the scripture is fear can be debilitating. Fear can be debilitating. 1 Samuel 17 and 16, it says this. The Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and night. So remember his description from verse 14 that we read. 40 days, morning and night. Do the sums. This guy, twice a day for 40 days, 80 times he presents himself giving it his all. He gets bolder and bolder while the Israelites are getting smaller and smaller on the inside. Morning, he wakes up, he has breakfast, he goes, where are those Israelites? Let me go and taunt them some more. Comes and taunts them, goes back, has his lunch, has his siesta, comes back, toothpick in his mouth. Give me a guy. Present yourself if you're hard enough. Can you imagine hearing the same threats every day for 40 days? It's understandable that they would feel fear. David is a teenager and he's keeping sheep in Bethlehem. In verse 22 and 23, it says this, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. And then he was talked to them. There was the, and when he talked to them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. And they were, again, dreadfully afraid. So now they're not greatly afraid. Now they're dreadfully afraid. In other words, in the language of Leah, the Israelites were freaked out. Goliath is so much like the adversary of our soul. The devil, he tries to intimidate us. He comes morning and night telling us the same thing. That is not even truth, really, if you really looked into it. And if you leave him unchallenged, he will grow and grow and keep us awake at night. And then we start our chorus. What if I lose my job? What if I don't get another job? What if this disease gets worse? What if my relationship doesn't get restored? What if 40 days, morning and evening, Goliath did this to them? Fear is intimidating and fear can be debilitating. But if experts tell us that we are only born with two innate fears, the others are learned, as I mentioned earlier, could it be possible that we could unlearn the fears that we have? Could it be possible that we can think differently, do things differently, begin to see, change our perspective in the situation that's challenging us? In Romans 12, 2, and I think all the preachers actually have referred to this. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind, thinking differently, learning new things and learning old patterns. I read somewhere once that said, courage is fear that has said his prayers. But I don't want to end with just describing what Goliath was like, what fear is like, because that defeats the whole purpose, where we want to change our perspective from looking at the issue and looking to God. And just looking at David, you could see some tactics. I put out some tactics that we can take into our own personal lives, that we may not be fighting a giant today, but we may not be fighting Goliath today, but we're fighting our own giants in our personal lives. And the first victory that I saw learning from David was this. Remember past victories. Remember past victories. In verse 33 to 35, it says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep the father's sheep. And when the lion or the bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out and I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from the mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Now, I mean, it's very easy to read that, but think about a teenage boy rescuing a lamb from the mouth of a lion, striking it and killing it. David is saying, if I can do that, I can hit this target. God has helped us through so many victories in many battles in our lives. And when the enemy comes to taunt us, we must remind him of all that God has done for us already as the first step in order to move and win our battle. Fear in the present is conquered by recalling past victories. There is all of us in here cannot walk away and say, God has never made us victorious from some of our battles. And it's time for us to remember what God did for us before, and if he can do it, then he can do it now. Remember past victories. And the second thing that I noticed here is realize what you personally carry. And what you carry is enough for your battle. God will not give you something that he's not convinced that you can carry or overcome. You see, God made me and you unique. That's why our fears are different. And that's why I do not belittle anybody's fears, because what I struggle with, somebody out here doesn't struggle with, and vice versa. But you know, we all look at it differently. In Samuel, in verse 38 to 40, Saul clothes David with his armor. and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened the sword of his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, but I cannot walk in these things, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Why use a sword when you are better with a sling? Everything we require to overcome in battle is already within us. Dig deep inside of you, and God will show you. Isn't it funny how it's similar for us when we measure ourselves against others, thinking that what we carry is not good enough? I can't preach like Penny. I can't pray like Mark. I'm not as drop dead gorgeous as Leah. What you be? Realize that what you carry is enough. So yes, remember past victories. Realize that what you personally carry is enough for the battle. And the third one is rest and rely on a powerful God. In Samuel 17 and 45, when David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David rattles on what Goliath has got. You know, he's lists them all up, and he's not intimidated. He says, yes, you're coming here with a spear, you come with a javelin, you come with a sword, but I have something you don't have, Goliath. I have a name. I have the name. I come with the name that is indisputable. I come in the name that has authority. I come in the name that will whoop your behind, Goliath. As we end, I hope that we take away a message that's very clear, that we do not fear. But what I'm trying to say, and I think I've said this before, is that the Lord is not telling us not to feel fear. But the question I ask you and I leave with you is, what do you feel? What do you do with the fear that you feel? What will you do with that fear that you feel? Fear is a fact of life. Fear of the future, fear of past danger, fear of loss of positions, fear of self-esteem, fear of losing relationships, fear of criticism, fear of being disliked, fear of the unknown, fear of fear. But the Bible and yours tells us from Genesis to Revelation. It says, he says, do not fear. The command was given to Abraham. This command was given to Israel. It was given to Moses. It was given to David when he fled from Saul for many years. It says, do not fear. This command was given to Daniel. He went into the lion's den. It was given to the angel Gabriel, gave it to Mary. It was given to Peter as he was sinking on the water. It was given to Paul when he was shipwrecked. Do not fear. So when fear comes knocking this week, Life Church, send faith to answer the door. Because Isaiah wrote this, to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He'll come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and he'll come to save you. David says this, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? John says, peace I leave with you, about Jesus. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Joshua says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Life Church, the same God who healed those years, the same God that's in here this morning, the same God that healed and saved and made David win that battle, it's the same God that's in here today. So when the enemy comes to you this week and he tells you you're not good enough, I need you to tell him, listen, I'm above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. And when he tells you your business is going to fail, you need to tell him, I'm like a tree planted by the riverside. I yield my fruit in season. My leaves don't wither. Whatever I do, it will prosper. And when he tells you you're isolated, you need to tell him, listen, I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I just want to pray for you this morning. And I'm going to hand over to Steve. And I just want to give people an opportunity to just come and get the leaders to pray for them. But I just declare over this place, Lord, that the spirit of battleship comes upon us. I pray, Lord, that you just lift our perspective and we look to the hills because we know that's where our help comes from. I pray, Lord, that you just rejuvenate each and every one of us. Help us to change gears so that we see the things that are troubling us in our world in a different perspective. Lord, we believe you. Lord, we understand you. We understand you from the word, and we know that your word is true and that you never change or you lie because you're not man. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a new thing in this place, that you're lifting perspectives. Lord, you're lifting the spirit of fear upon people. I pray that you restore them with faith in a mighty way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.